Bill Fennelly's here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mendel, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this morning on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mendel, joined virtually, of course, by Dave Manuk. Ezra Ginsberg is there as well. We're all about the Winnipeg Jets as we are each and every Saturday morning. It's a game day. It's a game day that's starting about 3 hours earlier than we initially anticipated, but that's okay. That just means we can spend some more quality time with our family, by which I mean each other, later on this evening. Gentlemen, good to see you both on this Saturday morning. The Jets and the Oilers later on tonight. Jets coming off a very successful road trip. But the big news of the day, of course, the signing yesterday of Adam Lowry to a contract extension. A five-year contract extension worth a total of $16.25 million. Good to see you both on this Saturday morning.
Yeah, what's up, boys? I'm glad you got that 0.25 in there. Lousy wouldn't have liked that if you didn't get that 0.25. I'm obviously bugging you. But yeah, you know,
also, surprising guys. Since when can you call him Lousy?
That's his uncomfortable.
It's his nickname.
No, it's not. That's not the nickname that you have for him. You can call him Mr. Lowry.
No, well, it's also his Twitter handle, too.
I wouldn't go that formal either, Drew.
Maybe Andrew, or not Andrew, Adam, sorry. I'm pretty sure that if Ezzy starts an interview, hey, Lousy, then there's going to be an issue.
Yeah, possibly. I can call him Andrew, too, as well. Yeah, exactly. It would be a Lousy interview date, Drew. But, you know, obviously it was a surprise, guys, that, you know, Lowry signed this contract. Considering that the Jets typically do their business after the season is over, or I guess if you want to look at it like before the next season starts, right? So that was, I think, the big surprise. Elliot Friedman obviously was reporting, you know, earlier in the day on Friday that, you know, a contract was close. So it wasn't a surprise that, you know, the contract was finalized later in the day. But, you know, as I mentioned, it's just a little bit uncommon for the Jets to, you know, sign one of their players to a long-term contract. So, I mean, it's great news, right? And, you know, several weeks back, you know, we were talking about the Seattle expansion draft and, you know, Drew asked the question, you know, who would you take, Lowry or Kopp? And, you know, before any of us gave our answers, you know, we said that we were hopeful that, you know, both of these players would re-sign. And now, obviously, one of them is signed. And I think there's every reason to believe Andrew Kopp is going to sign as well, guys. But obviously, you know, there are ramifications for the Seattle expansion draft, because if Lowry was a UFA, then, you know, he didn't need to be protected. But all around, I mean, this is just a great contract for a guy who spent his entire career with the Jets. And that's what I love, Dave, about what he talked about. I mean, he said that repeatedly, you know, in the Zoom call, and then also, you know, with our friends Kenny and Rennie on their show. Like, he repeated that he wanted to stay in Winnipeg, and he didn't necessarily want to test the UFA market. So I think Jets fans love to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think that to me was the overarching kind of message within the framework of yesterday's media availability with Adam Lowry, was just this idea of his love for Winnipeg and how much he enjoys playing for this organization. And it was interesting because I you know, I was thinking about it. He was drafted, obviously, 2011 in the third round. And I was thinking, I can't believe it's already been 10 years since he was drafted, or almost 10 years since he was drafted. You were at that draft, as you remember it. But to me, it's a function of, you get guys who want to be here long-term, want to be part of the community. And it's interesting, you know, and just deviating slightly from Adam Lowry, when Connor Hellebuyck was talking a week back or so, and he was talking about the absence of fans, and he's talked about our community. And I was thinking, like, it's been now a long time, and these guys are now becoming part of the framework of the community. And that's one of the things you don't necessarily see so much in today's NHL that we used to see back in the day, was, you know, Jets 1.0, is that guys are part of the community. You know, they bought homes here. They lived here year round. You, Dale Hawerchuk, you had guys, other guys, lots of guys, you know, who did that. And it was different. Obviously the money was different. They couldn't necessarily maybe afford to have homes in so many different places like today's player. But the reality is, I think a lot of guys are now adopting that mentality of, this is their home, this is their community. Like I said, we heard it from Connor Hellebuyck, and that was kind of, like I said, one of the comments he made. And Adam Lowry is probably, along with Josh Morrissey, one of the most well-spoken members of the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, I they're probably the top two. I can't, Andrew Kropp's very good as well, but those are probably the top two guys, I think, in terms of their ability to have, you know, a coherent thought and express themselves well. And I just like, and Lowry to me was, you know, like I said, he was clear in what his message was. His message was, I want to be here. I want to be part of this organization. I want to win with this organization. I have confidence in what they do. But also, like I said, it was more about, like, how many times do you ever hear a guy say, I want to play here with one team for the rest of my career? He was honest. And I like even his comment, which, you know, it's funny because I tweeted it and it's gotten a lot of reaction, is he told his agent, I want to be in Winnipeg. And, you know, again, he didn't publicly state it, which obviously would have put him up against the barrel if he was negotiating. He didn't go public with that stance. But the idea that, you know, and he said it in his availability. How often do the Jets ever do mid-season extensions? You know, that's usually, and Drew, you referenced it, I want to say like 6 months ago, but like whenever it was, you said, oh, who is Chevy going to announce as his, like, you know, training camp extension? Because that's usually what we get on day one of training camp, as he mentioned one player who's been extended. So again, I think it was a win. I thought the dollar value was a win. You know, it's less than what Brandon Tanev signed for in Pittsburgh. He got signed for 6 years, $3.5 million AAV, I think. And so I think from a Jets perspective, it was a really good contract with a player who wants to be in Winnipeg, gives you that third line center, doesn't break the bank. And again, like I said, I thought he was asked by Sean and Ken that idea about leaving money on the table. And I don't think anybody would disagree that he left money on the table because, you know, a team like Calgary would have, you know, lined up to sign him. I think Seattle would have been happy to sign him. I think there would have been a lot of bidders for Adam Lowry, but I thought his comment to Sean was interesting. You know, his comment was when Sean asked him, you know, are you going to lament not testing the UFA market? And he said, no, he goes, I mean, he said he thought about it. He goes, I have no regrets about signing this deal with Winnipeg.
Well, you know, Adam Lowry's value, it goes, you know, and I think it was either Marat or it was our buddy Ken Weeb, but not that Marat's not our buddy, but he's also our buddy in one of their columns about the signing, sort of said that his value certainly goes beyond what you would see on the score sheet. And you know, certainly true. You know, Paul Maurice has got to be probably the if he's not the second happiest guy, then he might be even happier than Adam Lowry is, because this just gives Paul Maurice certainly a sense of comfort and that reliable guy that, you know, he always goes over the boards, usually second to start every game if he doesn't start the game to begin with, because Paul Maurice trusts Adam Lowry so much. Now, you know, Adam Lowry, you know, is having a good year, and he's having a better year this year than he did last year. And so I think the timing happened to be very fortuitous for him in that he's got, you know, he's already got 8 goals. If this was a full season, an 82 game season, this would be a guy who would probably be, you know, 15 to 20 goals this season. And he's never going to light up the score sheet. He's never going to be I don't think he's going to be even a 40 point guy in his career. But if Adam Lowry can chip in 12 goals and he can chip in, you know, 15, 16 assists and right around that 30, 35 point mark while continuing to play the difficult matchups he plays night in and night out, I think the Jets are going to be very happy with this contract. I mean, you're almost paying for the reliability, Ezzy, that Adam Lowry brings to the team, brings to the bench, and brings to that dressing room, in that, you know, his effort is basically going to be pretty similar night in and night out.
I think one of the most important things about getting Lowry under contract for 5 years is that you know what your team is going to look like up the middle, right? Like, mm-hmm. We know Scheifele, Pierre-Luc Dubois, we know they're under contract for next year. And in terms of Scheifele, obviously past next year, and then Dubois will have to be re-signed. But then, you know, Paul Stastny is going to be a free agent. And, you know, we expect David Gustafson, there's a really good chance, right, guys, that he's going to be the fourth line center next year. It's not guaranteed, but just based on, you know, his development, he's been playing with the Moose, and I think, you know, we would all agree that he's ready to graduate to the NHL. So I think that's one of the most important things. By locking up Adam Lowry, you're not going to have to go into the offseason with that unknown, right? Like, who's going to be, you know, your third line center, or who's going to be the other center, you know, along with Scheifele, Dubois, and Gustafson. Jansen Harkins, of course, can play center, but I think, you know, at this point, we would all agree that, you know, it looks like, he's going to stay on the wing of this Jets team. So that's what I think is the most important. And kind of going back to what you guys were talking about, yeah, like maybe he left some money on the table, but like who cares? Like, he signed the contract. So as far as I'm concerned, like, what does it even matter? Like, I understand, like, you know, maybe he could have got a little bit more money, but I mean, who are we to say how much money that would have been? Like, are we talking about $500,000 more a year? I don't know, maybe. But I mean, I'm just speaking, you know, personally, I don't really care. I mean, I think you could make the argument that when any player signs with any team, he's possibly, I'm talking about a pending UFA. When a player signs, you know, with his team, it's possible that he's leaving a little bit more money on the table. And let's be honest, UFAs are oftentimes overpaid, mm-hmm. right? So, I agree that he probably left money on the table, but I think you need to focus on what's most important here. As Dave said, it's a lifelong Jet drafted by the Jets. You know, his dad's the assistant coach. I mean, this is a great story. This is, you know, something that, you know, I think most Jets fans, 99.9% of Jets fans are happy about.
Well, you know, and to your point, it's hard to know if he left money on the table or not. Now, usually, you know, free agency by definition, unrestricted free agency tends to be inflationary. So, but, you know, we're in a bit of a brave new world when it comes to free agency, given the flat cap in the NHL, given, you know, the lack of pandemic revenue for these teams. Who knows, you know, what the market was going to bear out for Adam Lowry, you know, this offseason. So instead, what does he get? He takes the bird in the hand, which is a very fair bird to him at, you know, 3.25 per season for the, you know, for the foreseeable future for the next 5 years, which is certainly a significant chunk of the rest of his career. So, I mean, you know, at some point in time, it's not, you know, what you passed up on, but it's what you took instead. And, you know, to your point, Ezzy, you know, you're talking about the Jets up the middle next season. Well, you know, I tweeted this yesterday after the signing was announced. The Jets' four centermen, you know, the top three of which are pretty damn good, high-skilled centermen, and David Gustafson seems like he's got all the talent in the world. You know, you're paying a total of $15 million for your four centermen. Mm-hmm. That's a tidy piece of business by Jets general manager Kevin Schabeldayoff.
Yeah. Well, it's a good point. Yeah, and you know, we know that Scheifele's underpaid. He's in the Nathan MacKinnon criminally underpaid group, right? And Dubois is going to get a raise on his next contract, but you could make a strong argument that he's underpaid as well. But that was a contract that he signed. It was a bridge deal, right, guys? So I mean, you know, you always know you're giving up a little bit when you're signing a bridge deal. It's kind of funny because, you know, Dubois and Laine both signed those bridge deals and then they were traded for each other. I mean, there's a lot of connections there, you know, second overall pick, third overall pick. But you're right, Drew. I mean, they have incredible depth and they're not paying a lot for it. That's the main point here for Jets fans. Like, you have Dubois on his contract still at, what is it, $5 million a year.
$5 million
and you know, you've got Scheifele locked up, what, 3 more years after this year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's everything about this is logical, I think, from both sides. And, you know, maybe you don't love paying $3.25 million for you know, the offense that Adam Lowry brings, which isn't a ton, but you are glad to pay $3.25 a year for everything else he brings combined with his offense. And I know you're not supposed to pay for intangibles anymore, and you're not supposed to pay for leadership, and you're not supposed to pay for sort of that off-ice dressing room influence, but it matters. And I think that Adam Lowry certainly is in the leadership group of this team, you know, especially now, if he wasn't already, and I think he already was, but especially now that he's here for the next 5 seasons with the Winnipeg Jets. And everything about this, I think, from a Jets perspective, just makes a lot of sense. It makes sense from Lowry's perspective, probably makes sense from his family perspective. And, you know, you take a bird in the hand, especially in these uncertain times, and you're happy about it, and you can really continue to put down roots here in Winnipeg. And Dave, you talked about it when, you know, off the top there, sort of saying about, you know, how, you know, his comments and about how he's, you know, a member of the community. And it always harkens back, and that's not a Jansen pun, but it always harkens back to me to a comment an old boss made for me, that Winnipeg is the hardest place to get people to come to. But then once they're here, it's the hardest place to get people to leave. And you are to some extent seeing that with the Winnipeg Jets, with certain signings, Scheifele, Wheeler, Morrissey, Hellebuck. I mean, I know that there's the
Kyle Connor.
Kyle Connor, sure. Nikolai Ehlers. And I know that there's, you know, people who've chosen not to be here. But, you know, Evander Kane, I mean, ultimately, his career has been a disappointment. Now, I'm not saying that it would have been any different had he stayed in Winnipeg, but he never gave it a chance. You could tell psychologically from day one, Evander Kane never had any interest in being here long term. And that's his prerogative. I'm not criticizing him for that whatsoever. But this is, on the flip side, you have the guys who've come here, been open-minded, and have absolutely thrived here as a member of the Winnipeg Jets. Now Adam Lowry can be added to that list of guys. And that's why it's important for Lowry himself. It's important for the team. It's important, again, for the narrative that exists and will continue to exist, because the people who use this narrative tend to be from outside of Winnipeg and ignorant on the facts that nobody wants to stay to Winnipeg. People might not want to be traded to Winnipeg, but once they come, and once they spend some time, they do tend to want to stay. So, and another comment I wanted to make is that this salary, the $3.25 million, I think does not preclude the Jets from going out and maintaining one of their current pending free agents, be it Paul Stastny, be it Matthew Perreault. I mean, the numbers, the salary here doesn't close shop for Kevin Cheveldayoff with regard to his pending UFAs. We know that the RFA business will get done. Mm-hmm. Certainly Neil Pionk, and then obviously Andrew Kopp is a to be determined. But the salary that you've now allocated to Adam Lowry keeps a lot of doors open for the Jets general manager.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's, again, that's what Adam Lowry talked about, that idea of contention. And Ken Weeb of Sportsnet wrote about that idea, that this kind of keeps that Jets window open for some time, because you've got, your third line center established and set. And to your point, Drew, what you said, mm-hmm. that idea of your centers aren't costing you a fortune. And maybe that affords you the opportunity to bring in a defenseman next year who's going to help solidify your group. We'll see. Or if you allow for internal, development to continue, the guys like Ville Heinola, a Johnny Kovacevic who could be on the right side. You don't know what's going to happen. Again, like I said, Logan Stanley's taking the jump. So we don't know what kind of development curve guys will be on and their path forward. But I think to your point, Drew, it gives you an opportunity to be competitive with other teams, and you can have a little bit of money to play. And you're right, you're going to have to pay Neil Pionk a pretty big upgrade. And Andrew Kopp is, he's got Kurt Overcharge as his agent. So I suspect he's not going to come in at a lower price. So I think that's one of those things you have to factor in. But what this does is it gives you that opportunity to get these guys down. And then, like I said, if you need to make that ad, you make the ad if there's that opportunity. But it also means you can always hold on to that money, allow the young guys to come in. They've had another year of development, even though it's been an unusual year. They've at least developed. And then from there you say, okay, well, we could always add at the deadline. We'll have that latitude. We'll have that space. And that's always the thing that a GM wants to have, right? The flexibility to be able to make decisions that can improve their hockey club.
Exactly right, Dave. Let's talk about the expansion draft ramifications, Ezzy. But first, I want to say good morning to everybody joining us this Saturday morning on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on our social media platform. Nice to see so many familiar faces and new faces joining us in the chat. Come on down. Join the Jets conversation that happens each and every time we go live, be it with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show or the Illegal Curve Postgame Show. While you're here, hit the subscribe button, ring the bell, give us a thumbs up. That's all we ask of you. Keep the conversation clean in the chat. Give us some thumbs up. That's your job. We'll provide the hockey content. Ezzy, let's talk about the expansion draft ramifications. We know that Lowry, of course, was a pending UFA, and my thought was going to be that maybe the Jets would get something done with him, but I always thought it was going to happen after the expansion draft. We now know that that's not going to be the case, so the Jets' seven forwards that they're going to protect seem pretty clear. Wheeler, Connor, Ehlers, Scheifele, Dubois, Kopp, and Lowry. Those seven seem like there's no brainer. What does this mean then for Mason Appleton or Jansen Harkins, the two forwards that are most likely, one of those two forwards likely to be chosen by the Seattle Kraken, barring some sort of side deal that we've seen the Jets pull like they did with the Vegas Golden Knights a number of years ago?
Well, you just kind of answered it there, Drew. I mean, that would be the only way that, unless Seattle wants to take a defenseman, That is how you avoid Seattle taking Appleton or Jansen Harkins is making a side deal. Because I think if you look at Appleton's trajectory and you know the amount of money that he's making, he would probably be the first choice of Seattle, and Jansen Harkins would probably be the second choice. But I mean, it's pretty obvious that the Lowry signing just means another spot is locked in, right? And if Lowry wasn't locked in, then pardon me, if he wasn't signed, then he wouldn't be a locked in forward. And then there always would be the chance that Lowry isn't protected because, you know, you're going to sign him at a later date. So, you know, you said it. I mean, that's what's going to happen. If there is a deal to be made, it'll be to prevent Seattle from taking, I don't know if prevent is the right word, or it would just be to ensure, I guess, that Appleton isn't taken. I'm not sure if you can do that with Harkins as well, because I'm sure the Jets wouldn't want to lose Harkins either. He's making less than $1 million a year, but yeah, this is huge for the expansion draft. And you know, we know most likely who the Jets are going to protect on defense, but there always is the chance, guys, that the Jets decide to protect Logan Stanley over Dylan DeMello. And I wouldn't be so sure, guys, that, you know, Seattle doesn't take one of those defensemen.
Yeah, and people are asking in the chat about Harkins, and remember, he can be taken by Seattle. It's just a function of whether he qualifies as a forward that you have to expose. So
let me explain that, if you don't mind, Dave. So what the rule is that for the Seattle expansion draft, each team needs to expose two forwards mm-hmm. who have played either 27 games this season or 54 games combined over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And has to be under contract for next year.
Right.
So Mason Appleton qualifies as one of those people, no questions asked. He's played the sufficient number of games. Harkins needs to play 5 more games this season to be the second Jets forward to qualify for that. If he doesn't play those 5 more games, and I do think he will, but time will tell. If he doesn't, that means the Jets will have to go out and re-sign at least to a 1-year deal.
Nate Thompson or Trevor Lewis.
Thompson, Trevor Lewis, Matthew Perreault,
yeah.
One of those pending UFAs, or even somebody else completely off the board that's an unrestricted free right. agent, but that's less likely to occur.
Yeah.
So that is the sort of the caveat with Jansen Harkins and with the Jets forward group. And Shevel Dayoff obviously knows that, and so that's why I expect you'll see Harkins get those 5 games between now and the end of the regular season. Sorry, yeah. Dave, go ahead.
No, that's kind of what I was saying, but yeah, you've clarified it further, which is good for people because there is always that uncertainty. And sometimes people will be like, oh, well, this person can't be picked because, you know, they're not here, but no, they actually could be. And mm-hmm. It's just a function of whether Winnipeg has sufficiently, you know, qualified enough players to allow them to hit what they need to their requirements. So,
and they've satisfied the defense and the goaltending. Yeah, when they signed Nathan Beaulieu in the offseason to a 2-year contract,
that's right.
The reason for adding that second year was largely to get him to qualify as the defenseman to be exposed in the expansion draft to meet the qualifications for goaltenders. Right. There's not a games played rule. For goaltenders, it's only that they have to be under contract.
Yeah. So, that's why Comrie's available. Yeah.
Comrie, Burden, and Cole Keller, because they're all under contract for years to come. And Hellebuck obviously will be protected by the Jets.
Yeah, clearly. Anyways, no, I was just going to say, look, what did the Jets do with Vegas? So they wouldn't, remember, the Jets had to leave Tobias Enstrom exposed. And they didn't obviously want to lose him. So what did they trade? They swapped their first round pick, which was the 13th overall for Vegas's, which I think was 24th overall. And they also gave Vegas a 3rd-round pick.
Right.
So to me, if you're the Jets, you know, why wouldn't you do that? Like, why wouldn't you do something similar to ensure that you can direct Vegas to take player X, whoever that is? You know,
you basically, and I was going to say, you find out who, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. You find out who Seattle is going to take. So let's just, for sake of argument, say it's Dylan DeMello, Dave.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it could be a Dylan DeMello a draft pick swap, so they won't take Dylan DeMello. Or if it turns out to be, I don't know, Matty Perreault or Jansen Harkins. You know, Drew mentioned, I forgot that it's not a guarantee Harkins will be protected or will need to be protected, I should say. But yeah, that's, I think, what, you know, Jets fans should expect to happen. Something like that. Either, you know, a swap of draft picks, or the Jets just send Seattle a draft pick.
Yeah, and that would be my guess as well. And that's what I think that they're going to, I think that's what Kevin Shevel Dayoff. To Drew's point, I mean, if you're locking yourself in to essentially saying these are the forwards that we're going to have to protect, And everybody knew who they were. Their only question was, if Lowry was still going to be a UFA, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, then at least it afforded you the opportunity to protect a Mason Appleton, or a Logan, Mason Appleton.
Yeah.
So to me, that was kind of the way it looked like it was going with the Winnipeg Jets. Clearly, they went another way. And part of me thinks, because Kevin Cheveldayoff has a tendency to be a little risk averse, part of me thinks that maybe he's already got something worked out with Seattle. There's no guarantees. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder if he did something like this in the middle of the season, whatever point of the season, I guess the three-quarter mark. So I think if that's the case, then I think it's a function of, does he already have something drawn up with Seattle to say, you know, this is the way it's going to look for you guys. This is what we're going to give you. And because it seems like a move that he would make to have comfort to do the Lowry signing if he knew with certainty this is the way it's going to look for Seattle.
To your point, he knows what it's going to cost the Jets to not lose a roster player at the expansion draft. You know, and if it is the same price, like you said, like the Jets paid to Vegas, I think most people are probably okay with that because it's unlikely.
You can fire the third round pick from that Columbus gave you in the Line A deal from in 2022 if you need to. You can use that. So you don't actually lose one of your own draft picks, I'm saying.
Sure. You
have an extra third round pick. So you can have something to play with a little bit.
And now that Lowry signed, guys, I was just going to say, Drew, like, you know, we know that means that, you know, either Appleton or Harkins has to be exposed, right? Like you mentioned it, Appleton must be exposed unless, of course, they don't protect Andrew Copp, but we expect that to happen, right? So I really think it's going to be interesting to see if it's Logan Stanley or Dylan DeMello, because if you protect Logan Stanley, but you have a deal worked out with Seattle so they don't take Dylan DeMello, right, then you don't mind doing that. But you definitely don't want to lose Logan Stanley. So, I mean, I guess you could say the reverse happens, and I guess it doesn't matter at that point, as long as Seattle doesn't take the player that you don't want them to take. Right.
Well, if you have a side deal worked out, then they're going to take, like Vegas did, Chris Thorburn, you know, the equivalent, the 2021 equivalent of that player, you know, a guy who's a pending unrestricted free agent. I mean, that's why you make the side deal. Now, I think what general managers have probably learned is that they're not going to make a side deal that involves them trading a different roster player, because that's where, you know, Vegas was able to capitalize so well. They were able to take these sort of diamonds in the rough. Alex Tuch, Jonathan Marceau. I mean, you go up and down the Vegas lineup of guys who've contributed. Now, I think general managers have learned that, but you know, in terms of Kevin Cheveldayoff, if it costs the Jets a third round pick, and that means they get to hold on to both DeMello and Stanley and Harkins and Appleton, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's a price that the Winnipeg Jets are probably willing to pay, Dave.
Yeah, no, and there's no question in my mind. Again, because you want to keep your core together, you don't want to lose pieces that are up and coming. You know, we've seen Mason Appleton's game hit another level this season with the opportunity he's been afforded. And I think that, you know, you've got Logan Stanley, who's taken a big jump. And again, I wouldn't have anticipated what he's been able to do. I thought he was always going to be a decent NHLer. That was my kind of projection for him when people would ask. But I think he's taken this opportunity. He's jumped his game, another level. And again, he's shown that he could be something. And big guys, when we had Craig Button on, what did he say? He said a guy like that has to develop at a different pace than everybody else. And I'm not saying he's going to be Zdeno Chara, obviously, but that idea of these guys who don't necessarily look like they've got it all together early on, because there's so many different aspects of their game that have to develop differently than your traditional player. And again, I think the Jets are using that word, risk averse. I think it's a situation where you don't want to, quote, give up, especially on a player that you've had a belief in, right? So many people have crapped on the Jets for the pick, and not necessarily the pick so much, but the idea of moving up for the pick. I think that's what bothers a lot of people. But the idea is the Jets have invested a lot in Logan Stanley and his development, and I don't think they want to give up on that yet, knowing that, again, he could be part of your team for the next decade in a very solid second pairing, most likely third pairing role. Could be, and again, could be as high as second pairing. I'm just saying right now he's third pairing, which is good for him and his development. And I think from a Kevin Cheveldayoff's perspective, you don't want to give up on that. So what do? You, again, to me, the way we've watched him operate over the last 10 years, I could be completely wrong. I don't know anything for a fact. I'm just simply conjecture on my part. but I would think that he is going to be have made a deal with Seattle in order to protect the assets he wants to protect and expose someone that he's willing to part with on this Jets roster.
Let's hold it right there. Our buddy Sean Reynolds is going to join us momentarily. Let's pay some bills, play some ads. When we come back, Sean Reynolds joins us for more Jets talk and hit the conversation that he and Ken Weeb had yesterday with Adam Lowry. You're listening. You're watching. This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club, bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
We're back with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Joining us on the program now from the arena, because I'll be perfectly honest, I totally forgot that there was a game day skate happening right now. Sean Rennie Reynolds joins us. Sans headband, unfortunately, but I guess you got to look a little bit more professional than you do from the home office there, Mr. Reynolds.
Yeah, you know what? I've been fooling people for years with this professionalism thing, and I've given a little look behind the scenes onto how unprofessional I am, but there's still people, I think, somewhere in this rink who maintain the thought that I'm some kind of professional, so I'd like to hold on to those people as long as I can.
That's perfectly reasonable, Sean. I guess first and foremost, what can you tell us that's happening at Winnipeg Jets game day skate ahead of tonight's contest against the Oilers?
Well, I mean, the big thing to look out for is Blake Wheeler. He's out on the ice, and he's wearing a white jersey, which is the top six jerseys that they wear. So, I mean, that's good news. It clearly means that he's progressing from his concussion, which has kept him out of that last road trip. That said, there's seven white jerseys out there, so one of these things just doesn't belong in the game tonight. And so far, I haven't seen him taking rushes with any of the other top six players, so I would suggest we're going to see the game start with the same top six lines or the top two lines that we saw on the road, or the way things ended in Toronto, and that we're not going to see Blake Wheeler playing the game tonight.
And, you know, how much of that, Sean, do you think factors in that, I guess, two things, that the Jets don't have, you know, that they have this five-day break off after tonight's game, you know, getting Wheeler even that extra time off?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, and I guess, you know, we know that when you've got a concussion and you need to get back to where you need to get, the best thing that you can get is rest, right? So that's always going to be a good thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that the next time we see the Jets on the ice after this, that you're going to see Blake Wheeler playing in the game. because that's concussions, right? They're the big unknown, and we still don't know, or there's still a lot that we need to learn about that, and you got to be careful with it. And hey, he could be feeling good one day and feeling poor the next day. I will say this, from everything that we've seen of him, the progression that he's been making, the steps that he has been taking to return to the ice, there looks to be on the whole positive steps. You know, he moves from getting onto the ice fairly quickly, and the fact you see him on the ice the next day means he didn't get off the ice and have poor systems or symptoms. Getting back on the ice the next day, he's progressing, and he's trying, you know, skating a little bit harder every time he gets on the ice, trying new things every time he gets on the ice. So when you're trying to bring someone back from a concussion, you're trying to build them back to that space where that, you know, you feel free and clear. And just by what we've seen from him, we know that that build is happening. Now, again, with concussions, everything can take a sharp turn for the worse at any point. So you got to watch out for that. But you have to like what you're seeing progression-wise from Blake Wheeler as he tries to get back into this lineup.
Sean, we have to ask you about Adam Lowry. Obviously, the huge news yesterday, signs the big five-year contract. Hold on a second. Just got to get something. Hold on. There we go.
There yeah. we go. Yes.
You know, yeah. he came on the Kenny and Rennie show. I brought that just for you, Sean. You know, great interview. And you guys obviously, you know, had Elliot Friedman on as well, who, you know, along with Darren Dreger, obviously, you know, broke the news yesterday. And, you know, it was just so refreshing to hear him, you know, right off of, you know, signing that contract, because, you know, he's such a genuine guy. And, you know, we were talking about this before you came on. He said this on your show, and he said this, you know, during the Zoom call as well. Like, he obviously wanted to be in Winnipeg long term. And, you know, he said that, you know, many times. I guess, you know, the question I wanted to ask you was, does this contract just make so much, too much sense in terms of, you know, the value, the term, everything like that? Because I think, you know, the big concern was that, you know, a guy like Adam Lowry, he might, you know, have to have that kind of, you know, drawer deal, you know, just to avoid not having to expose him in this Seattle expansion draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game I would not have played if I was the Winnipeg Jets, putting yourself in a position where you could lose Adam Lowry. I mean, I know a lot of people on Twitter were talking, saying, well, why not save this deal so that you can take another player and not have to worry about exposing them? That's crazy to me. It's crazy that you would suggest trying to hold on to Mason Appleton at the risk of losing Adam Lowry. Because here's the thing. It was why it was so important for us to get Elliot Friedman on the show yesterday. Elliot gave both Ken and I a text way earlier in the day. So we knew this was going down early in the day. He knew it was going down. And the most important story I thought I heard from Elliot yesterday on our show was that when he tweeted the news that it mm-hmm. looked like it was heading in this direction and it was almost done, he started getting texts from other general managers around the league who were hopefully saying, Elliot, are you sure you don't got this wrong? People were hoping that this wasn't going to happen. There were wolves at the door waiting for Adam Lowry to somewhat be exposed so that they could make those overtures. And again, Elliot said on our show, make no mistake about it, he took a hometown discount here. He left money on the table. I, guys, personally thought that he could be in the range of $4.5 million a year. I don't think he just left money on the table. Anytime you're leaving over $1 million on the table, which is what I think happened here, that is an insane amount of value that your team is getting. So, yeah, okay, you can play that game, and the fact that Adam Lowry wanted to come back here, maybe you can go out and you can say, okay, let's expose him. Let's try and finagle something here so we keep Mason Appleton, which I think he's a great player, but you've got another guy like Jensen Harkins just waiting in the wing, and you've got players who can jump into those spots. I personally think, and I said this, I've been on the record as saying this, I think that the Winnipeg Jets window would have closed if they lost Adam Lowry. I think he is that important, because when you've got the depth the Jets have, and when you've got Adam Lowry, who is now at the stage of his career where he can shut down the very best lines in hockey. Not, it used to be he could shut down the really tough, big, strong centers. He's at the stage now where he's shutting down the Austin Matthews of the world. When you have the depth that you have, and you can take that guy and erase the best talent in the world that you're playing against, and then free up the rest of your talent to go play against the second, third, sometimes fourth lines of other teams, I don't think that you can put, well, you can put a price on that value, but you need that. If you're the Winnipeg Jets, you need that. Your team is built around being able to do that. And I think other teams, and I always go in this direction, imagine what the Edmonton Oilers would look like if they could go and take Adam Lowry as their third line center and put him out to erase the Mark Scheifele's of the world or the Austin Matthews of the world. And then you were consistently able to get Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid out against third line talent around the league. That would be invaluable. So this was a risk the Jets just could not take in my mind. I think this was done the right way. And at that value, how could you not do that deal?
Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Our guest joining us from the arena where the Jets and the Oilers will do battle later on this evening is Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet.
You know, Sean, I got to stick with the interview you guys, you and Ken did with Adam Lowry yesterday. I thought it was fantastic. I'll reiterate Ezzy's point. And, you know, I think, although I was a little jealous, nice microphone upgrade. Very, very fancy microphone. I definitely noticed. Sean slipped up his microphone game a little bit, but you know, one of the things I think that I, you know, I took away from the interview with you and also that he did with the media with us earlier was that overarching thought of wanting to be part of Winnipeg, that idea of becoming part of the community. And I think, and I guess I'm, what I'm wondering is your opinion, but what length do you think that goes to dispelling the myth of folks not wanting to be in the Peg, right? And how much that'll help, because here's a guy who, to your point, could have walked, like, obviously he gets certainty signing here with an uncertain, you know, market, but we know a guy, there would have been a market for a player of his size, his strength, his ability somewhere in the NHL, whether it's with the Seattle, with the one of the Western Canadian teams like a Calgary or an Edmonton. I 100% agree with you. He left money on the table, but he just became another in a long line of players now who have signed long-term deals in Winnipeg. And I think, you know, there's this myth, and Drew, I think, said it earlier in the show that, you know, it's hard to get people here, but it's hard, it's even harder to get people to leave here once they are here. And I think a guy like that who could have gone and made more money elsewhere signing here is just another feather in the cap, if you will, of the Jets organization and the city itself.
Yeah. Let's dispel this myth right off the bat. There's no way that Adam Lowry or Adam Lowry's agent thinks for a second that he couldn't have gone and got potentially better money or the same term anywhere else. Adam Lowry is here because Adam Lowry wants to be in Winnipeg to the point that he would take less money to stay here and be a Winnipeg Jet for the next 5 years. That's how it goes. And so to your point, Dave, when you're talking about guys like Nick Ehlers, who gives up years. I mean, when we look at these extensions and these long-term deals that the Winnipeg Jets players have signed, you have to look at them, and this is how agents look at them, in terms of the unrestricted free agency years that you give away in that deal. So every time you sign a long-term extension, when you could have gone to unrestricted free agency at 27, but you sign until you're 31, then you gave away 4 unrestricted free agency years. That's how they look at this. And the Jets continually are able to get players to stick around and to do this. And in a case like this, where Adam Lowry is essentially an unrestricted free agent, you know, in a couple months, he's there. We should count it as that. You're getting a guy to stick around and give away unrestricted free agency years. And unrestricted free agency years are years where a player can go and take the best overtures from everyone and maximize their contract. So Winnipeg Jets players are choosing time and time again not to maximize their contracts, not to go for the most money they can possibly get. They're choosing to stay in Winnipeg because they like it here. Now, it's strange. We've had conversations about this, but you still don't get unrestricted free agents coming to Winnipeg. I mean, like, if you think about the biggest free agent splash that this team has made, it's probably Mason in the crease and Dmitry Kulikov, right? And neither of those seem to work out very well.
Don't forget about Olli Jokinen as well, Sean.
There you go, Olli Jokinen. So when we look at it, I mean, the team still has a hard time getting players to come here, but it's probably been a blessing in disguise if we look at it, because how many teams put themselves in terrible spots by overspending on unrestricted free agency? My guess, I mean, we can't give too much credit. Kevin Cheveldayoff deserves amazing credit based on exactly what we're talking about. But my guess is there's probably a couple of times out there that Kevin Cheveldayoff has been offering money towards a player that if the player would have come, it wouldn't have worked out. It would have been an overpay and it would have ended up being a problem just because other teams are, you know, there's tax sheltered states and these kind of things. I think a lot of other players took a deal elsewhere or thought that they'd have a better life somewhere else other than Winnipeg and took that and probably in the end saved the Winnipeg Jets. But so this is still not an unrestricted free agent city. If you don't know about Winnipeg, if you don't know what it likes to feel like you are, know what it is like to feel like you are a part of this team or be in this city, there remains that perception that this is a place that you don't want to be. But to the point you guys were making, if you come here and if you play here and if you spend time here and if you have time interacting with it from the owner to the coach to the players to the community to the general manager, you walk away feeling like this is a place I want to be. I know what my role is here. It's very defined. I know how I fit in. I know that I'm part of a greater effort to do something. And I know that this is a team that takes seriously the effort to try and win and win the Stanley Cup. And we take for granted, guys, the number of other hockey teams and places and cities that don't necessarily approach this like that. Like the Winnipeg Jets have been building towards something and are now all in and have shown through their actions that they expect to and intend to be all in on winning the Stanley Cup this year, next year, the year after, the year after, the year after. And if you're a player that cares about stuff like that, it's great to be here rather than a city that's trying to figure things out, that is consistently, you know, selling at the deadline, that really is not going to be getting anywhere. If you want to be a winner, if you want to feel like you're part of something, if you want to be part of a really well-run organization, and quite frankly, if you want to be part of a great community that cares about what you are doing and is a great place to live and has great people, then you want to stay in Winnipeg. And that's why people on the outside don't get it, but the people who are here really get it and they're buying it.
Sean Reynolds, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Sean, as I said to the guys earlier in the show, I had an old boss who said that Winnipeg is the hardest place to get people to come to, and then it's the hardest place to get people to leave. And you've certainly eloquently emphasized that with your appearance so far this morning on the program. Let's get to the on-ice stuff now. I mean, obviously, the Adam Lowry news was the big news of yesterday, but 2 days ago, it was the Jets going into Toronto and really dominating the Maple Leafs in that 5-2 victory. We know the next stretch of games are all against either the Oilers or the Leafs. How important is this, you know, next five games for this Jets team? They've sort of proven what they can do against the Leafs already this year, but that Oilers bugaboo has been the one team that's sort of given the Jets fits for the most part this season.
Well, I mentioned Adam Lowry and his ability to shut down Austin Matthews. This is what we need to start. Headband on his face. I'm sorry. You know what? This is a game we love to play on the show as we get the jokes from the audience and we throw them into the show and see if we can get the guests to stumble.
Sorry, Sean. I shouldn't have done that. I've seen you do that on the Kenny and Rennie show. So I figured it was time for a little bit of payback.
A little bit of a taste of my own medicine. I love doing that to Ken time and time again. I did it once to Elliot yesterday and he kind of stumbled. I was like, okay, I better not do that anymore. Yeah. I better not do that anymore. But so we've seen what Adam Lowry has been able to do to Austin Matthews. This is the one thing I feel Adam Lowry, I think, has done a phenomenal job shutting down Leon Draisaitl and making the Edmonton Oilers a one-man team when these two teams play. But that one-man line is enough to kill you. That's how good Connor McDavid is. And I have been fascinated by the way that the Oilers kind of deploy those two players. We talk about them not having the depth and that they're basically, you know, run by those top two lines. And that's true. But what they do is, those guys are in such good shape and they can push so hard for so long in a game that Connor McDavid goes out with his line and then Leon Draisaitl goes out with his line and then Dave Tippett sneaks them out together. So it's like they have 2.5 top lines, right? And it works. And so you get Connor McDavid, who's got the ability to kill you on the regular, Leon Draisaitl, who I think that Adam Lowry's done a pretty good job of shutting down. But then when you sneak out that 2.5 line with both McDavid and Draisaitl, that's been very effective at killing the Jets. And so I think that this is an interesting matchup because what we've seen from the Oilers and the Jets over the last 2 years is two teams that the depth of the Jets looks like on paper it should be killing the Oilers. But we know that it doesn't because these two teams are always within one goal of each other and it's always a great game between these two teams. So the last 10 games of the season, or I guess we got 12 left. This is where we're getting to a stage that you're trying to lock in your playoff game, kind of identify who you are, who's going to go against which lines. And I still think of all the teams in the North Division, this is the last team that the Jets still have quite a bit of figuring out to do on how they're going to shut the Oilers down. So tonight, to me, is going to be a fascinating game on line deployment, how they use it, how the Jets choose to use their lines. I thought this last line juggle, I've been advocating since they took them apart at the beginning of the season to have Kopp, Ehlers, and Paul Stastny back together. I think that they have been the Jets' best line all this year. I'm glad that they've gone back to that so that we can have another look at that. I like the move Pierre-Luc Dubois to the wing. I think that's added, you know, a defensive element to Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor's line that we haven't seen before. So I'm interested to see how those two lines stack up against the firepower that Edmonton clearly has. But I'm also interested to see how Paul Maurice utilizes those and tries to free up those two lines as Adam Lowry is going to be the guy who goes to shut down one of those top two lines. I still expect it to be Leon Draisaitl's line because it's worked so well. It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out tonight.
Yeah, I agree, Sean. And you know, what I wanted to ask you was about, you know, the 6 days off that the Oilers have had, right? Because it's a very unique, I guess, unique might not be the right word, just considering this has been, you know, the most unique year. And it seems like every team has gone through some weird stretch of the season, either with COVID or not related, you know, to COVID, but they haven't played in 6 days. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins isn't going to play tonight. So how much of an impact do you think that's going to have, you know, versus a team that obviously, you know, just played a couple of nights ago?
Yeah. Hey, what's the thing we've noticed this year with the Winnipeg Jets? The very last game of a long road trip where you think they should be dragging their behinds and not getting anything done, they always seem to show up and have phenomenal games. And Paul Maurice talks about it being like kind of the light at the end of the tunnel effect. Okay, we're going home, just one more last game. And everyone gets that jump that you don't expect a team to get on that last game on the road. But the counter to that is that first game home after the long road trips, it seems that they get a little bit dozy. They get home, they look in the fridge. Oh, man, I better eat all this before it expires kind of effect. I don't know. Maybe it's the, you know.
Yeah,
the
I've got some honey dill sauce right here. If any of the boys, if Lousy needs to borrow any, I've got some here.
Wasn't that hilarious? I mean, our comment section was just all in support of Adam Lowry as he was talking, and then he trashed Honey Dill Sauce, and all of a sudden the chat room started to turn on him a little bit, and he was like, whoa, Adam, careful what you're doing here. But back to the point, I mean, dads get back, and they're playing with their kids, and guys get back, and they see their wives and girlfriends, and life, you know, returns, and you've got responsibilities as a hockey player to still be a man and a father and a husband and a boyfriend, and those kind of roles step in, and I think it's been difficult for the Jets in this unique year because you're gone for so long in such a stretch of time that when you get back, there's a demand on you from your home life to spend a little bit of time once you get back. I think it's worn on them. So, I mean, if that trend continues, I expect to see a fully refreshed Edmonton Oilers team that I think – in years past, when you've been off for a number of games, sometimes it can take you a little bit to get back into it. But rest is so prized and valued this year that I think teams don't want to disrespect the time off by not getting going when they come back. Like, you appreciate the rest you got, so don't you dare come out flat in the first game after it and disrespect the fact that you finally got that time off. Otherwise, your coach is going to take that time off, and he's not going to give you that time off. He's going to grind you in that time. So, you know, I do think the Jets, just by that circumstance, are in a little bit tough here tonight. So, again, I think the Jets are going to have a specific plan. I think the plan that they're going to try to execute to try and figure out a team that they could very likely play in the first round of the playoffs, this is a matchup or an opportunity to figure out how you match up, and you can't waste those. So I do think the Jets are going to be motivated here tonight. I expect a really good game and another tight, you know, one goal game between the Oilers and the Jets, as we are used to seeing.
Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet is our guest. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. Remember, check out Sean and Ken Weeb's show, the Kenny and Rennie show, post game
and pregame.
and pregame on Instagram and Friday mornings on the YouTube channel. That's where you can all get your fill of Kenny and Rennie.
Yeah, let's not short those guys. They're doing a great, they're doing a lot of good stuff. So, no, Sean, you know what? I was looking at Ken tweeted out the lines and the D pairings, and one of the things that we see a swap of was Billy Hainola looks like he's not going to play tonight. Looks like it may be Logan Stanley. Do you think that, I mean, Palmer seems to have like signaled that there's going to be a platooning, he called it. And do you think that that's what we're going to see down the road? Because, like, you know, like Logan Stanley didn't come out because of his play. Although Paul Maurice, again, he kind of said he liked his last game, didn't like the two prior to that. So do you think that that's what we'll see down the road with these guys, is that idea of like he wants to get Jordy Ben in there, he wants to get Billy Hainola in there. So maybe Logan Stanley will come out a little more regularly than we've seen to allow those guys to get in and get some reps?
Yeah, entirely. And I think it's interesting because Paul Maurice, who sometimes, I mean, he'll let us in on stuff. Sometimes in player deployment, though, and what his plan for the future, he'll hold his cards close to the vest. I think that he tipped his cap after last game that Billy Hainola was coming out. And I think he's tipped his cap already that we will most definitely see Billy Hainola play again against the Toronto Maple Leafs specifically. I mean, that's what I take from what he said here. You're right, Jordy Ben, they're going to need to find a way to get him into the lineup to see who he fits with, how he fits with this lineup, how he would want to use him. So, yeah, the platoon, I expect that to be happening. I think for him, it's important for him. He had said, he made it clear to Logan Stanley he wasn't coming out of the lineup based on play. And that's one of those, you know, everyone is talking about, you know, Billy Hainola and trying to find some space for him, and including Kevin Cheveldayoff, who I was surprised came out and said that. Usually he doesn't stick his nose into player deployment. He did that in this case, which I think is strange. It's uncommon. He doesn't do that. But from a coach's perspective, he has to look at it differently than all of us. We can scream and say, I think Billy Hainola is going to be special, which I think everybody does, and I think so. And we can say, we want him in the lineup right now. Paul Maurice is the guy that has to take someone out of the lineup to get him in and explain to that player why he's not in the lineup right now, and then manage the potential fallout from that. So if it's a veteran player, which we've seen people on social media calling for veteran players to come out, you have to manage, you know, that veteran player's feelings of coming out of the lineup for a young player to get an addition. If it's Logan Stanley, who's been doing everything you've asked of him to try and stay in the NHL, when you're telling him he's coming out of the lineup and it's not because of his play, I mean, these are things you have to manage as a coach. So we can all play the game and have like the lineups that we'd like to see. We never have to look a guy in the eye as we're taking him out of the lineup, or we never have to look a guy in the eye as we send him down to the AHL. Paul Maurice has to do that. He has to do it time and time again. And it's a reality of sports, and it has a real effect on the room, and it's his job to manage that. So going down the stretch here, I think him saying that it's going to be a platoon, I think he sent the message not just to us in the media, but to his players as well, that this is a strategy he's taking that he has to take, that he has to get a look at everyone involved here. So if you end up being one of the casualties of this platoon, know that it has nothing to do with me thinking that you are weak and that you're not doing your job and that I need to take you out of the lineup, because I think we have a better chance of winning by taking you out of the lineup. Because that's the statement. The guy who comes into the lineup gets the benefit of the statement saying, I think we're better with you in the lineup. That's a huge boost of confidence. But when you're the guy getting taken out, whether the coach says so or not, it's hard not to look at it and say, hey, I'm getting taken out of the lineup because my coach and my team thinks they have a better chance of winning by eliminating me from that lineup. That can be hard to take. So, again, messages need to be managed by the coach. We can all say what we want about who wants to go there. Paul Maurice has to live with the ramifications of those decisions. And I think that as vocal as he's been and as clear and transparent as he's been doing that in a manner to manage that room.
Sean Reynolds bringing so much heat in that interview, they're going to need to repair the ice when practice is over, melting things down. Sean Reynolds and Ken Weeb will be with the Kenny and Rennie pregame show. That's at, I believe, at 5:15 tonight on their Instagram feed. And then later tonight, probably around 10:30, the post-game show. That'll be on the Kenny and Rennie YouTube channel. And, of course, Friday morning, the Kenny and Rennie show on their YouTube channel as well. Sean?
Oh, yep. Hold on. He's got something
guys,
else.
Before you let me go, I just want to say I can't thank you guys enough for all the traffic that you send our way, for all the bumps that you give us. You are our brothers. We appreciate you like crazy. We absolutely adore the work that you do. It means so much to us, the push and the bump that you've given us and the welcoming nature that you've had into this space that we're all going into here. It means the world to us. And just
it's
like
our
I
pleasure,
said the last
Sean.
Time.
It's no sweat off our backs. We love it. So we're going to continue to do it. You guys as well. If we're going to start, throwing the love back and forth, I mean, you guys as well do an awesome job. So we're going to continue doing it. It's our pleasure, man.
Well, I just need to make it clear. Last time I was on this show, I said it was a little bit of a dream come true. Finally getting to talk hockey with you guys. That was no BS. That's how I feel. It means a ton for me to be back on with you guys. And it just, we feel so supported by you guys. And I can tell you, when you guys do your post-game show, which is awesome, and you toss guys towards our show, we always get people tumbling. We know when your show ends because our numbers go from here to here. And people come walking into the room and they say, I'm here because a Legal Curve sent me. And we love that. And it means the world to us. And I just want to thank you guys for that. And thank you for the opportunity to talk with you here today. It means a ton.
There he goes, Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet. Love you, brother. We'll do it again real soon, and we'll see you at the rink again. Take care. There he goes, Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet, covering tonight's game for Sportsnet, the Jets and the Oilers later on tonight. And again, such a brotherhood and a camaraderie that exists between all of us, and Sean really doing a great job there sort of summing that up.
I think Sean should just stick around with us. Sean, just stay with us.
Sean, you can stay on the show if you want. We don't have to leave.
They're going to bump me, though. That's the problem. They'll keep you on, Sean.
I have to go and do the player avails.
Oh, yeah, it's starting right now.
Actual job, but otherwise I would have been all over it, guys. But appreciate your time. Thank
we'll
you.
See you at the rink.
Bye, brother. There he goes. Sean Reynolds of Sportsnet departing from the program this morning. Sean's appearance on the show brought to you by Dr. Les Rikus and the team at Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Don't be an Ezzy. Always wear a mouth guard and give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. To make an appointment to get your teeth to ting, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Calm.
Saturday my son morning. Ruben might have to, I was just going to say, Ruben ran into a trampoline right before he went to bed last night. I was thinking he might have to maybe go visit Dr. Les Rikus, but fortunately it was just a little mark on his nose, but man, did he smack into that thing. Like it was just, it was incredible. And Drew,
why do you have a trampoline in his bedroom, Ezzy? That just seems poor.
It's in the living room. It's one of those little small trampolines. You guys probably have one, Drew.
We were never trampoline people for whatever reason. I know what you're talking about. I know.
Hold on, so am I a trampoline person? I don't even know what that means, but it's just a little kid's trampoline. I mean, it's not a huge trampoline, but anyways, I just thought I'd mention that. I was a little bit worried that there might be some dental work required, and that's why we always have Dr. Les on retainer.
Pardon the pun there with the retainer word, right? Was that a pun or was that just a happy coincidence?
No, that was a pun. I was trying to be punny.
Okay, well, you are very punny. And let's talk about, obviously some of Sean's comments and I guess the changes to the Jets defense again tonight. That Logan Stanley is going to come back in by the sounds of it. Ville Heinola not going to play. Jordy Benn was also on the ice during Jets practice this morning. I mean, no surprise that he's not going to play. But I do think you're going to see him at some point in time between now and the end of the regular season. So, I guess your thoughts about, Heinola sort of just getting that one game against the Leafs and then back out of the lineup for tonight's game against the Oilers.
Yeah, I wonder, Dave, if any of that has to do with the fact that you've got some extra time between games, right? Like what I mean is, maybe if there wasn't as many days between games, like you stick with Heinola knowing that Logan Stanley has a chance to come in, right? Yeah. So you're right, Drew. I mean, I think we expected this, right, guys? Like you can't just get Ville Heinola into one game and then, he sits for the next, 3 weeks or whatever. I would assume that, what do we have, 12 games left here? I would expect him to, get half of those games, maybe three quarters of those games. I mean, I would think it would be closer to half, because Sean Reynolds mentioned this, and it was a great interview, by the way. And, you know, Paul Maurice does have to manage this situation delicately, because it's not just Ville Heinola's games that you're trying to get him into, right? You also don't want Logan Stanley to just be a healthy scratch for, you know, a week or two at a time, right? So that's what I would expect. I would expect, you know, Ville Heinola to probably be in the next game against the Leafs.
I think Ezzie makes a good point. I think the idea is that if there was another game in 2 days, then you're more likely to let Ville Heinola play tonight, see how he does against the Oilers. You know, again, you've got some speed on that Oilers team. He could see how he handles those guys. And then you could go back to Logan Stanley when the Leafs were in town. But I think because of the way of the nature of the structure of the schedule right now, and obviously folks know, and if they don't, just let them know that this was supposed to be a 6-game homestand. It's now a 5-game homestand because the Jets have canceled the Wednesday. They changed the time, obviously. Tonight's game was supposed to be 9, is now a 6 o'clock game. And they moved the Wednesday game to Thursday. They moved the Friday game to Saturday.
Moved to May 14th.
I think it's Saturday, May 14th or something like that. Maybe it's Friday
May 14th.
Friday, May 14th. So yeah. You've got that schedule changed now. So you've got a 5-game homestand instead of what it was. And so, although
more importantly than that, after tonight's post game show, I'll tell you one thing's for sure. Both of your guys' phone numbers are getting blocked on me. No text messages until at least Wednesday you two guys.
The irony is that you think either one of us would text you without any reason to text.
Please
you.
Text me. I'm so lonely.
Now, actually, the one thing that's interesting though, and because of the schedule change, I'll quickly note that is that I may have to be in two places at once, because for the first time in the history of Winnipeg's NHL and AHL teams being in the same city, there will be a Jets game and a Moose game at the exact same time in Winnipeg. It's happened when one's in the city and one's on the road, or both have been on the road, but it's never happened where both are in the same city. So I've long.
So how are they going to do that, Dave? Like, how are they going to use the same rink at the same time?
Well, that would be interesting, but
they're just going to take turns, I guess. Like when the Jets game's in the intermission, then the Moose will go out there.
Yeah,
they're going to play. I take it too seriously. I honestly thought he was asking that question legitimately, and I was about to answer him, and then I realized.
Drew, come on, you've known me long enough. I'm an enigma. You can never know what's going on inside of my head.
I just usually imagine it's yum 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 yum.
No, but I mean, anyways, it'll be real interesting to see how I'm going to try and be at both the downtown arena and the Iceplex. I'm just going to have to, maybe I'll get a police escort. I'll fly up Portage. It's only about a 10-minute drive, maybe 5 if I can speed with the police. And then that way I can cover both games.
I don't see any flaws with your plan.
Or I could be at the Jets game watching I can be downtown and maybe I'll watch the Moose game on.
It's
AHL,
very simple, Dave. You have to clone yourself. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. It's like, obviously the answer is cloning. I mean, I don't know why that's so difficult for you to comprehend, but
I wish.
You've already done it with sheep. I mean, it's got to be right around the corner for us humans, right?
I'd get a lot of work, a lot more work done if that was the case. That'd be fantastic.
Anyways, obviously we mentioned Stanley back in the lineup, Jordy Benn on the ice. I do think that between now and the end of the regular season, so the next 12 games, you're going to see Jordy Benn come into the Jets lineup and likely at times for Tucker Poolman. Because Jordy Benn is a really interesting case in that he can play both sides, but throughout his career, he's had the most success playing on his offside, which would be the right side. So that would be an opportunity to get Tucker Poolman some rest to give, the more I dig into the Jordy Benn trade, the more I like it. Simply because, I mean, I'm looking back at his time in Montreal, and I know that it's a couple years ago. But, you know, when he was in Montreal, he played well playing on the right side. When he played on the right side in Vancouver, he played well. So his numbers in Vancouver, primarily when he was playing on the left side, were pretty lousy. I'll be frank. They were just pretty lousy. But when he was playing on the right side, he was pretty successful both in Montreal and in Vancouver. So I think there's more upside, let's say, to the acquisition than I initially thought when the trade happened on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I mean, I think, you know, part of the reaction to the Jordy Benn acquisition was the fact that there wasn't another, you know, top pairing or top four defenseman acquired, right? So I think was part of it. But I mean, he's a solid signing. Like you asked, like you mentioned, Drew, like the advanced stats are definitely better when he's on the right side. But, you know, he's that, you know, third pairing kind of seventh defenseman, right? And I agree with you. I think, you know, if he is going to get into the lineup, it'll probably be for Tucker Poolman. I mean, most likely, guys, we know it's going to be in a third pairing role. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those cases where with Nate Beaulieu out, you needed to bring in another depth defenseman, right? Like you've got Ville Heinola, Logan Stanley, and Jordy Benn all kind of competing for ice time now, right? Like we know who the staples are in the lineup. So I always like the move. But you're absolutely right. I mean, he's going to get into some games, and I mean, we know that the Jets aren't fighting for a playoff spot. So it's not like you have to worry, about who your matchup is and when you put this guy in or you put that guy in. I really think Paul Maurice is comfortable, whether it's, you know, putting in Ville Heinola against the Leafs or, you know, putting Jordy Benn in against the Oilers. It's going to be really interesting to see how he uses the defenseman, but I do think it's going to be basically, you know, for lack of a better term, it's just going to be a rotation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's an opportunity for the Jets to keep some players fresh for Paul Maurice to, I'll use the word experiment, but I think that's probably too strong of a word. Just an opportunity for him to get some guys some rest. And we knew the Jets needed another defenseman. And, you know, so often you players come back from, you're playing in Vancouver. It's been such a crummy year in Vancouver, on ice wise, off ice with the COVID. You know, would it surprise anybody if Jordy Benn sort of, you know, gets a hook up to the rejuvenation machine when he comes to Winnipeg? And yep. I'm not going to say he's obviously going to turn into a world beater or anything like that, because that would be overstating his skill set. But I do, there's a lot about it as a depth pickup that I like more as I consider it, Dave.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just going to say, Dave can get in here. No, I just wanted to quickly say that I think, you know, the point that you made about the right side is very important. And I think it's important because if the Jets had acquired a defenseman, Ben's a bad example because he can play the right side, but if the Jets had acquired a defenseman that couldn't play both sides, it would be virtually impossible for that defenseman to get into the lineup. Right? Because you have Ville Heinola and Logan Stanley. That's why it was a smart move by Chevy, right? Because we talked about it, or at least, you know, I kept mentioning it, that I thought, you know, the right side needed to be addressed more. And it turns out that's kind of what he's doing, even though Ben can play both sides. But that's, you know, I think something that you have to really factor in here is that if they had acquired a left shot defenseman, like let's say it's Jamie Oleksiak, or, you know, that might be a bad example because he might've been a second pairing guy, but you would have had, Dave, a logjam on the left side. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have a logjam. You know, the next man up, you know, if Stanley's in the lineup, it's going to be Ville Heinola that goes in. If Ville Heinola's in the lineup, it's going to be Stanley that goes in. But on the right side, if Tucker Poolman comes out, it's going to be Jordy Benn that goes in. So I think you have, you know, your roster's looking good right now. And obviously Sammy Niku is in there as well. But I think we'd all agree he's the number eight, number nine defenseman at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, the depth chart is looking pretty good. Is it as good as you know, some other teams? Well, no. I mean, Toronto's got more depth. Their defense is better. But I really think when you look at that division, I think the Jets are right up there, certainly with Montreal in terms of D depth. And I would, you know, say their D depth is better than Edmonton. That's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, Jordy Benn, I think, rounds out the defense nicely there.
Yeah, and I was just going to give a quick update from Morning Skate from Ken Weeb, who said that Blake Wheeler stayed on, as did Ville Heinola. So Blake Wheeler not ready to go. And Paul Maurice somewhat signaled this, right? He said that he was going to have his line set probably after the Edmonton game, where he'd like to let them go for a roll. Well, what does that mean? Originally, it meant, you know, 3 days off, and then he would have more time for Blake Wheeler, and then he'd have his forward line set. And he also signaled, and he's reiterated this point, that he was going to be seeing more changes on the D. And I think that's kind of one of the things that, you know, he wants that forward group going, but the D, he can kind of have that luxury of playing with and not having to worry about disrupting things too much, because he's going to get these guys in. So I'm not terribly surprised that Blake Wheeler is not playing. I mean, we said that as much yesterday or the day before, whenever it was we spoke last. And I said, I don't think he's going to go, because they're going to want to get him into a practice and get him an opportunity to bump and grind. And obviously he's wearing a contact uniform. So that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, a more of a practice type setting where he can take some hits, give some hits, you know, see how he comes out of that. And if he's feeling good, then my guess is you'll see him in the next Jets game. And again, from Paul Maurice's perspective, you'll have 3 days, 4 days of rest, obviously with some practice time in there, and you'll have an opportunity to get your team healthy and feeling good. And then again, to Ezzy's point, we're going to see that platoon. We're going to see the defenseman coming in. My guess is you'll see Ville Heinola, maybe Ville Heinola and Jordy Benn come in. Who knows? Or if he's going to try and do it like a little dip in the toe, you know, maybe just do the one at a time and that sort of thing. I'm not entirely certain how Paul Maurice will do that. It's forward thinking. We got to think about what tonight's game is, which is the Edmonton Oilers, and what that's going to look like. So, and they're speaking right now to the media. So I'm not sure if there's anything of note being said. I'm not monitoring it because I'm talking to you guys.
I haven't seen anything yet, but of course, anything that comes up, we will bring to you on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. When we come back, I want to ask you guys about the importance of the next five games as they play against the Jets, play against the Oilers and the Leafs, the other two top teams in the North Division. The Jets' lack of success or their middling record against the Oilers so far this year. Do the Jets need to have a quote-unquote statement game like they've had against the Leafs on a couple of occasions this season? Think about that when we come back. I want your answer to that question. Saturday morning, we're live. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're watching the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're chatting with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manuk.